Yeah.
Okay. You can go now. Or you can stay. We do appreciate Ken taking last week. I don't, with all the sickness and stuff, I don't think it's made it up onto the website yet, as I've been checking in on that. But certainly have heard that it was a really intimate and family gathering, but it was really good. And so certainly appreciate that, and appreciate your faithfulness. Even when things are busy and people are headed everywhere, that you have your priorities straight. So I thank you for that. So as we think back, we were with training the 12. We're going to carry on with that in theme, in theory. We're not really going to be in the Gospels today, but we're going to carry on with the same idea. And so we'll review last week just a little bit. If you remember, Jesus had said to his disciples, remember that this is that final week. Things are about to change. I mean, there's going to be a drastic change going on in their lives and in the world. Jesus is about to be crucified. It was Thursday night. This was the last night in his earthly, regular earthly body that Jesus would be here. This is his last night with his men. And he told them as they were in, they were going to have the Passover today. And that's one reason that we want to have this. Things were about to change and be radically different. Things were going to be new. And he was wrapping things up with this Passover. And we're going to have communion today. And that's one of the reasons behind that, is that as we want to start off in this fashion. And Jesus wanted, and he said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. And one thing he's saying there is that he wanted to spend this time, these final hours, with them. And he wanted to show them his love for them. It's not like they had performed so well that they earned this, but he loved them. And he wanted to spend this last bit of time, and he's going to give them some final input. And we're going to carry on next week with looking at what did he teach them, and what did they talk about, and what did they do during those last hours of Jesus' life. We've already started that. One of the things they did is they started off the evening with Jesus washing their feet. He wanted to teach them some final lessons, re-emphasize some things that, and one of the things that he was going to emphasize to them was that humility was a primary and absolute necessary trait that they were going to have. And the other thing that is a part of that is the elimination of self-focus. So those are two things that we covered last week, or the last time, and those were some final lessons that Jesus gave them. And he's going to give them some more things too, but we'll move on into those next week. But he wanted to spend this last night with them. And he wanted to have this night of intimacy with them. And that's critical to where we're going this morning, is that I want you to have one of these Thursday nights. That was the night. It was Thursday night before the Friday crucifixion. And so I want us to do the same thing. So this is kind of your kickoff for that. Is that if you haven't already done that, I know some of you have, but I want you to take a Thursday evening. It doesn't have to actually be Thursday, but that in philosophy, a Thursday, a time of intimacy with Christ before the coming of the new year, before you get too far into the new year. So be thinking about that. Plan a time that you can do that, and hopefully you'll get some direction for that this morning. So the disciples are about to enter and embark on this whole new adventure. Now they don't understand all this. We can look back and we can see it more clearly, obviously. But they don't understand, but this is about to happen. They have this night with Jesus. He would be crucified on Friday. He would rise from the grave on Sunday, and 40 days would pass, and they would have intermittent contact with him, and then the Holy Spirit was going to come in a way that he had not previously come before. He was going to come to indwell them and empower them for a special task, for the church, to carry on the mission of Christ in this world. and they were going to, he was going to equip them and prepare them to do it. They had a calling on their life, and they were going to, and this was going to be it, to carry on his mission in the world. And as I mentioned earlier, I love new beginnings. That the dawn, a morning of a new day and the freshness. And this is where they were. A new beginning. And they are about, these men are about to change the world. Well, God is going to change the world and use them. But this is, no other group of men are going to have as great an impact on the world as these guys were going to have. So I think that we should take some care and see, what did they do? How did they go about this? And so they started this whole thing with this night of intimacy with Christ. And, you know, as we look towards the new year as a church, we don't have things, we have some general plans, but we don't have things all detailed and laid out. And so one of the critical things that we need to do is to pray, to seek God. And I really believe one of our emphases in the new year is going to be, is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how they were starting off their new era. And so, as we prepare for this, it's not that we have to have every detail planned out, but we have to be in right connectedness to God, and we need to have a general plan. And so, that's one thing we want to be doing, is praying and seeking God for those things. So as we enter the new year, we dare not, though, just look ahead. We need also to look back and remember both the successes and the failures of the year past. So, even though you may have made great progress this year, and I have seen great progress in many people this year, I mean people reaching out, ministering, investing their lives in others in a way that they never have before, and spiritual fruit in people's lives. We have seen much fruit over this past year. But even as we look in a general sense like that, I'm sure you, like I can look back and we can think of and see sin, blunders, failures. And if we need to look back on those things, but we need to not let those things stop us from full enjoyment and expectation of the future. You see, there's a balance. There's a balance there. And one thing I'd like to give you just a little bit of insight on difficult times. If you've had some difficult times in the past year, and may a possibility, you know, this is not an explanation for all difficult times. Not in the least. But some difficult times come when God is wanting to teach us something. So, you know, in a way, one way God teaches us something is through your individual time in the Word. Through the teaching. And one way, if you're a part of this church, if you're sitting here, you are in some way a part of this church. If you're a part of this church, God leads you through the teaching of this church. We are moving in a direction. That's for you. When God is dealing with us on investing our lives in others, on spiritual growth or whatever it is, then that means He's dealing with you on these matters. And sometimes we resist what God has for us. So He teaches us through the teaching of His Word. Now, sometimes we don't get it. It's there, but we don't get it. He teaches us through just circumstances of life. He teaches us through relationships. Much He teaches. If you, all you have is teaching and you don't have partnership and somebody speaking into your life on a very personal and open way, then you're not getting all God has for you. That's a way that God uses. Primary tools He uses the Word, relationships, and prayer to guide us and lead us in our life. Now, there are times when we refuse those things and He must intervene. There are times in all of our lives where this happens. And so, it takes God intervening in sometimes a painful way to teach us what He wants to teach us. So I just would encourage you, don't let those times go by over the last year that you have struggled. Don't just say, don't just chalk it up to, oh, I messed up. Oh, somebody did this to me. Oh, that's just the curse. Sometimes God is trying to get your attention. And the whole reason this thought process came about was I got a text, well, an ongoing conversation from a friend, and he shared with me, I finally get it. I've been blaming all these other people. He said, I finally get it. God's trying to teach me something here. And I thought, you know, he wasn't ready to receive that from me. He wasn't ready to receive that from teaching. He wasn't ready to receive it from anybody, but God Himself had to intervene with some difficult times, and it got His attention, And he turned and said, oh, I think I'm starting to get it now. And that's the way God sometimes has to work. So if we look over the past year, we don't want to let those lessons pass us by, do we? We are stubborn at our hearts, all of us. And God sometimes has to deal with us in this fashion. So sometimes stubbornness, immaturity, and pride can only be rooted out through deep heartache, failure, or difficulty. That also tells you something for the next year, doesn't it? Be a little more teachable. Be willing to receive from one another. Receive from the teaching of the church. Because God will intervene. He will teach us. If we're His children, He will teach us. He'll teach us what we need to know. So, don't miss those lessons of the past year if God has been trying to teach us something. He's looking for a radical change of heart. And we all have those areas where we are resistant. This is the year to deal with those things, to take care of those things that have been constant. You know, David shared in his sermon when he taught, he said, somebody comes to you and says, you know, God's been dealing with me on this thing and I've been realizing this. And then you say back to them, oh yeah, I've seen that for a couple years. It's like, sometimes it's obvious to other people what God is dealing with you on or needs to deal with you on, but we just refuse to hear and respond. All of us are here. God is dealing with all of us on something. And so this is one of the elements, if we look back over the last year, that we need to pay attention to. God has been calling us, and if we want to fulfill all that God has with us for us for the next year, we have to take care of that rebelliousness and deal with it and respond and obey. So this is one of those reasons for getting alone with God. Because see, I've been trying to tell you for maybe a year or 2 years or maybe 5 years. But now God can communicate that to you Himself. So that's one of your reasons for getting alone with Him. And if you don't, I mean, God will be faithful. He'll continue to deal with you in whatever way He needs to deal with you, to get your attention on those areas of rebelliousness. So that's important to look back over the next year. In a lot of different ways. Before we move on. And then there's a verse that, I can't remember where this is, but for the Lord will go before you. That as we head into this next year, as we step in thoughtfully considering the past and making adjustments, but not being limited by the past, knowing that the God of Israel will be coming with us into the new year. With us as a church and with you individually. So as we still thinking a little bit about the past. Last year's New Year's message, I went back and I looked at my notes. I didn't go listen. But it was focused around spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth leading to ministry. And let's go to 2 Peter 1:8 real quick. If you remember, 2010 was, we were in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and 2nd Peter, and it was much on spiritual growth. 2010, the focus was on spiritual growth. In 2011, we were in 2 Peter. We talked about, this was last year, this was sharing the gospel in your life as well, and the training of the 12. It was equipping you to make disciples. It was still on spiritual growth. 2 Peter was basically spiritual growth. But sharing your life in the gospel as well, and training the 12, this was on preparing you to invest your life in others. So, let's read this. As one of our focuses from last, from a year ago. Second Peter 1:8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those things that God has been dealing with you on, those areas of growth, if you would be productive and effective in the next year, I think everybody wants that. If you're here, I just have to believe that you want that. You're not just about yourself if you showed up here this morning. That you want to be effective and productive. And so those qualities that God has been dealing with you on, that growth, those things, He wants you to take care of those things so that you can be effective and productive during the next year. So there's this is the thing. This strikes me. Sometimes the most wise people, intelligent people, can have blind spots. Nobody's immune to this. Blind spots of rebellion or pride, self-focus. And God probably has been dealing with you for a long time. Maybe you just became aware of it yesterday. But that probably means God has been dealing with you for a long time. And this is the year to be effective and productive. It means take care of those things. The problem is, here's the thing. Let's say there's a problem with pride, a problem with lust. You can't, it's like we're comfortable with that thing, even if it's, if it's unfulfilled lust, if I can use that. Still, that's an uncomfortable place to be, but if that's, we're comfortable with that uncomfortableness. And there's a C.S. Lewis story, there's a man walking around with a lizard on his shoulder. And it was just nagging him, it was on him, and it was representing lust. And a heavenly being, it says, said, "I'll kill that for you." And he refused. It's like, whatever that issue is, you probably can't take care of it yourself. I assure you, you can't. But there has to be a willingness to take it to God and let Him kill it so you can move on. Now, that may not be an overnight sensation. It may be a process. But it really is a willingness for Him to kill it, for Him to get rid of that thing in your life, whether it's ambition, whether it's covetousness, criticalness, whatever it might be. Because He wants to deal with that to make you effective and productive in the next year. There's a verse that we use that said, those that know their God will be strong and do exploits, that they will take action. Is that when there is real spiritual growth taking place, and you really are knowing God more, the ministry will happen, the fruit will happen, the abundant fruit will happen. You will invest your life in others, and you'll see fruit. You'll see productiveness. So I am so thankful for this past year that we've had. Maybe, I'm sure you see it in a different fashion than I see it, but I just see God's faithfulness to us as a body. I really see that so clearly over the last year. And I am so thankful for that. So let's read one other verse before we move on into the future. We'll linger on the past a little bit. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. That was kind of our theme verse. We use that for 2010 and 2011. So I can't help but think it's related to a jumping off point of where we're going now. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of His calling. And you'll notice the title of this message today is that you do have a calling. And God will provide, when you respond to that calling, God will provide all that you need to do what He's called you to do. We constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of His calling and that by His power, He may fulfill every good purpose of yours. The ESV says, fulfill every resolve for good and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. This is where God has had us. This spiritual growth, this investing our life in others, and we don't necessarily know where He will take us in this next year. But we need to be prepared for it. We know that we've been called, as this verse says, we've been called for His purposes. We've been called. And if you've been here for a while, you've been equipped and you've been sent. And God has been doing this for eons and eons. He's been calling, equipping, and sending. And when He calls you, He gives you what you need to do what He calls you to do. He is still the same. He still provides what is needed to do what He has called His people to do. The key to that is you must believe that. So we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. Why? To encourage your faith. That's to encourage you to believe. If He's called you to a mission, if you are a Christian, you have a mission. If He's called you to a mission, then He'll give you what you need to accomplish that mission but you must believe it, because it won't always feel like you can do it. I will guarantee you that. It will not always feel like you can do what He's called you to do. So, that's where faith kicks in. You must believe that. So, hopefully, a few of these verses will encourage your faith to do that. And I believe those disciples on that last night with Jesus, He was building their faith. He was building their faith, encouraging them, preparing them for what was going to come next. And it was going to be great things that were going to come next. So let's go to Exodus 3:10. So follow along with me, if you will. Three, 10 to 12. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. If He is sending you, God is the same. He does things in the same manner. He's sending you. He will be with you. And this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So, whatever Moses needed, God provided. If it was signs, if it was strength, if it was a helper, God provided exactly what he needed. Now, there's a requirement there, is that we be faithful in the small things. You remember this verse has come up recently. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? The master has put him in charge of the servants in his household as Jesus instructed his disciples. Is that we need to be faithful in the small things to be ready for the big things. Let's go to Exodus 4. Verses 1, 2, and 5. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. And then you know where he gave Moses a sign that he could give the people. He'd throw the staff down. It would become a snake. He could pick it up. It would become a staff. And then verse 5. This, said the Lord, is so they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. So he gave Moses. Moses had a calling. He was to go to the people. And who is Moses? Well, God gave him something. He gave him what he needed. He gave him these miraculous signs. So he called him and he provided for him everything he would need to carry out what God had called him to do. Now you see, God called him to do something that was beyond him. It seemed impossible. Faith. And then God provided exactly what he needed. Just as God gave Moses what he needed to do, when he called him, so he did for Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 1:4. Now I'm sure if you think about it, you can come up with, we could spend all day with examples. Jeremiah 1:4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So God called Jeremiah and he gave him exactly what he needed to do what he called him to do. Even when Moses was weak, God pulled through. Think about how many times Moses was delivered by another person. If you know the stories, we won't go back and read them. One time, you know, it was his brother Aaron had to rescue him. His wife had to rescue him in an odd situation one time. And his father-in-law had to rescue him. God just kept pulling him out, pulling him through, providing what he needed to do what he had called him to do. And Moses, even though he struggled, he had to keep believing. He was called, equipped, and sent. We are to be faithful in the small things. Determined to invest what He has given you. That's what the call involves. It involves investing. It involves investing in others. It involves in multiplying and being fruitful. Start with the basics. If you don't have the basics, then there's no sense in moving on to more complex stuff. The Word. Being in the Word. Prayer. Relationship. So by relationship, I really mean a couple things. I mean being a part of the body, like you are here now, but I also mean in partnership. I think this could be a hard question for a lot of us. If the ones close to you really have the freedom to speak into your life. Has anybody spoken into your life hard things recently? Then maybe people don't really have freedom to speak into your life. This is a necessary part. It's basic. Having partnerships. Now you see some of these things, some will struggle with, some people, you know, people struggle with different parts here. But these are the foundational things if we are going to be effective and productive and do what God has called us to do in the next year. Being in the Word individually and together. Prayer individually and together. Relationship, partnership, and a part of the body. Giving. Dealing with sin. And I mentioned this earlier, this dealing with sin issue, and we'll come back to it a couple times today. That means to receive deliverance, not just forgiveness. Do you catch that? That's how we deal with sin. We receive forgiveness, yes, but we also need to seek deliverance from that sin. That is, that it's killed at its source. That we really deal with it. We don't hang on to stuff. We really do deal with it. That we kill it at its source, or we ask God to. Whether that's pride or lust or ambition or whatever it might be. Be faithful to the gathering of God's people. And as it says in Hebrews 10:25, that particularly it mentions not forsaking the gathering together of God's people. When you do not come together with God's people, every single time you miss that, you miss something. I was very aware of that last Sunday. It's not that we were decided to sleep in or, you know, or go to the mountains or something. But still, just the same. We were away. We were away from our body. We were away from what was going on here and what God was doing here. And we missed something. You know, I don't even know all that we missed. You can't know everything that you missed. But God, that is a primary way that God prepares, equips, and sends and calls you. It's through the gathering of His people. So that is something we need to be faithful to, just as much as we need to be faithful in prayer and in the Word and relationship. These are foundational and basic things if we would be effective and productive in the coming year and do all that God has called us to do. You know what? It doesn't mean just being here in presence. It means being here in spirit. In other words, if the church and God is dealing with us, we're moving in this direction. And if you find a scriptural reason that we're moving away contrary to God's Word, then you have a responsibility to bring that up to us. And if you can't do that, and this is the body you're a part of, then you need to be with us. Not just present, but with us in philosophy, with us in passion for where God is taking us. You need to be a part of a body that you can be in agreement with. Oh, God is dealing with us on investing our lives in others. That's where I need to be. Oh, God is dealing with us on prayer. That's where I need to be. God, whatever it happens to be. God doesn't, in the scripture, you look through, God deals with groups of people. He does deal with individuals, but He deals with groups of people in this fashion. This is the way God has decided to work. So, what God is dealing with, you need to be a part in unity. In step. Now, if there's a reason that you can't be, like we are contrary to Scripture, then it's your responsibility to bring that up and to say, this is not right. So, those things are very basic. Obedience, that is our quick response to what God calls us to. Remember this, please. Our quick response is usually slow. What we feel like is quick if you get on, I've done this. How many times? I'll go back and I'll be in my quiet time. I'll write this down. God's dealing with me on this issue. I need to address this or something. And then I'll go back and I'll look at my quiet time notebook from 3 years ago and I'll say, oh, it's there. And sometimes I can go back further than that and I'll go, oh, it's there. And I'm looking at it, oh, God just started dealing with me with this. I need to respond. Well, our quick response is slow. Generally speaking, God has been dealing with this on something for a very long time. If we want to be effective and productive, obedience has to be a part of who we are. Well, we can respond quickly to God. Isaiah 49. For some more examples. God called, equipped, and sent. And as we look through this, I know that this is this particular passage is it's referring to Israel. It's also referring to the Messiah, to Jesus. But it's also referring, it's also to us. It's also a message to us. We can apply it. So he starts off in verse 2. He made my mouth. Okay, we have to. He made my. So it's God is the one who. He uses tools to do that. He uses the church. He uses training and equipping. But he is the one that prepares us to do what he's called us to do. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, oh, this is me. I think about the last, in the past, I'll go, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet God answers that. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand. And my reward is with God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be, this is verse 5, and he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, to bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will make you a light to the Gentiles. Now certainly Jesus was going to be a light to the Gentiles, but that is us. We are going to be a light to the world. He has called us to this, and if we are willing, he will make us a sharpened sword, and he will make us a polished arrow for his purposes in the next year. If we are willing. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And let's go to Isaiah 50. Verse 4. This is a passage that we dwelt on a bit last year, if you remember. Another one, it talks again about beginnings, about the early morning. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. And I have not been rebellious. Why would he say that? And I have not. The Lord has spoken to me. He opened my ears morning by morning. And I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. Do you know why he says that? It's our tendency to draw back. Do you realize that? Go ahead and admit it to yourself. Our tendency is to draw back from what God wants to communicate to us every day. Because we want to control our own destiny. There is a rebelliousness in us. And so we have to recognize that. And as Isaiah did here, he says, I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. He provides us what we daily need, yet our tendency is to draw back. And we do not have to succumb to that tendency. So I think again, back to Jesus on that last night that he had with his disciples. He wanted his men to remember the basics. Like humility and prayer, unity, resisting sin. Temptation is real and Satan is out to derail us. So as we talk about these things, as we head into the new year, there's somebody else thinking about the new year. There's somebody else laying down plans for the new year. And we have an enemy. He wants to derail us. He wants to take us off course. He does not want us to be fruitful. He does not want us to fulfill all that God has for us. And Jesus is going to warn his men on that night, it is real. You have an enemy. He is out to derail you. And he said it specifically to Peter. He would warn him that this very night, Satan is after you. He wants to sift you. He wants to take you and get you off. You see, they were about to enter this whole new adventure of the church. Of course, Peter was a leader. Of course, Satan was out to get him, to derail him. The tempter is out to derail you and get you, just like he was Peter. So just as we have a plan and we have expectations for the new year, the enemy has a plan and he has expectations for the new year. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We want to do right, but we're not always willing to die. We want to give in to our own desires. Let's go to Psalm 4, verses 1 through 4. So you remember that night that Jesus, we haven't got to it yet in our study, but Jesus asked them to pray. To pray. Just for a little while. But they wanted to rest. They wanted, their eyes were heavy. They wanted to take a little nap. Surely it's not wrong to rest. I'm weary. But they had a call. And Jesus had called them to something. And they wanted to, but their flesh was weak and they gave in to the temptation. So we have to. It's not a pleasant thought. But as we look into the next year, we have to recognize whatever you've been tempted with in the past that has worked, until it doesn't work anymore, it's going to keep coming at you. It's going to keep coming. Whatever's worked last year, why change? He'll keep doing the same thing. If it worked last year, it'll work this year. He'll keep doing the same thing. We have to deal with that and recognize that it's coming. Psalm 4, 1 through 4 is, I think it's a bit of a warning. How long will you be deluded? How long will you follow the wrong path? How long will you pursue the wrong things? How long will you be distracted by these things? Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. That means he set you apart for a purpose, for a cause, for a calling. The Lord will hear when I call to him, and he will hear you. He set you apart. When you call to him, he will hear you. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Distractions from the call. How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Delusions about yourself, delusions about sin, delusions about fruit. You know, we can delude ourselves. We've had a very productive and great year, when in reality, we have not. I'm not saying that we should dwell on that and get tripped up by it, but we should not attribute to ourselves fruit when there is none. We should take a realistic look and see what needs to change in the coming year. Distractions from the call. What will you be distracted with in 2012? I will guarantee you it will be something. What will you be distracted with? You may have no idea. But something is going to distract you in 2012. What distracted you in 2011? What distracted you from the call in 2011? Then probably it'll be more of the same in 2012. Or maybe it'll be something new. Good stuff, maybe. Seemingly positive stuff. Neutral stuff. And of course, there will be flat out sin. But some things distract us. Unforgiveness, criticalness, lust, anger, laziness, legalism, ambition, work, hobbies. And I don't mention these things so we can make a list and be legalistic about that. I mention these things so that maybe one of them, by chance, would hit you and you would recognize, I have a distraction. I have a distraction from the call. And I need to recognize that and deal with it in 2012. And then we deal with it by faith. Not by summing it up, making a long list and doing all, you know. Those things can be good. But we deal with it by faith. We ask God to get to the source of it. That's how we deal with things. God must kill it. Isaiah 43:22, we won't go there. It says, it was God giving a complaint to Israel. And see if this complaint would work. It's kind of like if we got to the end of 2012, and well, it was okay, it was pretty good. You know, the church grew a little bit, we did this and that, we had some good things happen. But we didn't know God's power. So we got to the end, we didn't really know God's power. We didn't see lives radically transformed. You know, we've seen that in the last year, haven't we? We've seen some of that. We want to see more of it. We want to see more of that. So if we get to the end of the year, and we look back and say, oh, you know, it was pretty good. Nothing really bad happened, and we made a little progress. But maybe if we knew, really could see into things, we would see what God is saying. That's not all I had planned for you. I want to give you more. I want to bless you abundantly. Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob. You've not wearied yourself for me, O Israel. Do you see? You haven't really cried out to me in prayer. You haven't really asked with faith, with passion. You haven't asked. So I didn't give. A key in the disciples' preparation, though, was the final night. They had almost 3 years of preparation, of course. Daily things going on. There were many things discussed that night. Important things. And we'll talk about those things more. Things that he's wrapping up and things he wanted to give an exclamation point to on that night. But I think what stuck with them that night, and you see this, even though John is the one that records all the details, when I read through John's recording of that final night with Jesus, what I get, though, is not all the there is the detail of the teaching of abiding in Christ and prayer and unity and all those things and asking and receiving. But really what I get the aroma of Jesus. Just this lingering intimacy with Him. That last night was absolutely critical in their equipping and their sending and their calling. That intimacy with Him. Their believing Him, trusting Him, even though they would stumble out of the blocks. You know, you've seen a sprinter get down on the blocks. Those first few steps are so important to not get behind. But you see a guy stumble out of the blocks, you go, oh man, he's not going to make it. These guys, they stumbled out of the blocks, didn't they? They failed. But they were given the strength. They looked to Him, and they were given the strength to finish the race. And boy, did they finish. I mean, they finished strong. As I said earlier, there's no group of men that you can name and that have changed history more than that group of men. Yeah, they stumbled when they came out. But I think they look back to that night of intimacy with Christ. They knew Him. And that gave them the strength to carry on and to trust Him to do what He said He would do. He called them, He equipped them, He sent them, and He said, I'll give you everything you need to do what I've called you to do. And He did. He gave it to them. Just as the Old Testament saints and the disciples were called and equipped, so are we. So are we. They got help. They got help from each other. But God provided what they needed. God dependence was key to them doing what they were called to do. And to not try to protect their position with men or to protect their pride. Their God dependence was key. And if somebody is God dependent, then what you will see in their life is prayer. That's God dependence. Do you see that? If it's really God dependence, it'll be somebody asking God. God dependence means you're dependent on God, so that means you're asking Him to provide what you need to do what He's called you to do. So there will be a strong prayer life and one that is God dependent. Giftedness and ability are not ignored by God. Certainly He works through giftedness and God moves in those ways, but God dependence was the key. And to be done in God's way, in agreement with His word, and being on His mission. So if you say, I don't have a call, I don't know where you've been over the last year. You haven't been absorbing this if you don't believe that you have a call. You do have a call. How important is His call and His purposes to you? How important is that to you? You always make time for the things that are important to you. Do you notice that? You always make time. So, how important is the call of Christ to you and over this next year? Oh, and don't forget, just as the disciples stumbled when they came out, think about Moses when he first obeyed God. You remember when he first obeyed? He went to, things got worse. Pharaoh got mad at him and punished him. So when you first obey God and you take those strong steps of faith and things don't go well, and you, oh God, I did everything you said and they beat me down. And God says, I know. Get back out there. Here, this is what you need. He didn't beat Moses up for coming and complaining to him. That's what Moses did. Oh God, I did what you said. It didn't work out very well. God said, I know. Now go do this. Be faithful. Be faithful. God always comes through. He always comes through. It doesn't always look like it. That's because He wants faith from us. But He always comes through. Psalm 5, 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. And Isaiah 46:4 says, I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you. That's His promise for 2012. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. So, as you prepare for the coming year, I would encourage you, don't let it just, you know, the Bible is full of markers and remembrances and set up this stack of rocks and remember this and look back and look ahead. The Bible is full of those things. I think the new year, I think it fits perfectly with Scripture. So I think this is a time. Use this as a marker in your life. Stop. Look back. Where has God taken you? What were some things that He was dealing with you on you could have done differently and you're going to do differently in the next year? He will go with you in the next year. He will give you everything you need to do what He has called you to do. He promises it over and over. He gives us example after example after example to look at. That He did that. If He had to do that so much, there's some things behind that about us that He knows. He knows that things are going to get difficult. You know, you start off the new day. You start off the new day. You know that by 11 o'clock, maybe sooner, it's not going to feel like it felt in the morning when you were reading and you were praying. It's not going to feel like that anymore. That's normal faith. Now you trust Him. He will sustain you. He will bring you. So in the next year, if you do this, you spend some quiet time, you pray, you have vision for the new year, you're pumped up, you're excited, you believe God, and then it doesn't work out for a little. Oh, it's not working out. Well, then you remain faithful. You believe. God will sustain you. He will give you what you need. He will pull you through. And you will be effective and productive. You trust Him. And you keep moving. So, but still, even though we expect that to come, it's good to set aside some time to think about the past, to plan for the future, to look ahead. What is God calling me to? What's He dealing with me on? What does He want to see different in my family, in my relationships? In church. And don't think about what everybody else needs to do to change. This is for you. Where you listen to God. And you respond to Him. So, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. There's a couple things. There's that, you remember the school of the training in prayer from June the 5th? You can go online and get that for the, I think the message notes. It's under June the 5th, 2011. Where you can get a training in prayer that would give you a little bit of guideline. There's also the other one that's on the webpage that is Steve's prayer guide under media. If you go, you can find it there. Think, plan, like if you're setting aside one of those Thursday nights, we call it, plan ahead a little bit. So bring some help, some things. Think back, was there a particular Bible study maybe, a particular time in your devotions, a particular sermon that struck you? Well, go back and get the notes, review that. Because if that stood out to you, there's a reason for it. That was the Holy Spirit dealing with you. So go back, review, look at it. How does that affect you for the time coming up? What needs to be different in this year coming up? Something else you need to do is not just think about your individual self, but the church, is to pray for the church. What does God have for us as a church in the coming year as we plan and as we move into the next year? Mark 14, you remember we mentioned this earlier, where Jesus said, "Are you asleep? Could you not keep watch 1 hour?" We need to keep watch in this next year. We need to keep watch for this hour. And the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that lived in them and did what He did in them in Acts, where we'll be heading into next, is available to us. The same Holy Spirit that came and lived in them and started the church. That same Holy Spirit is available to operate in us in that same fashion and to bear much fruit. So, I do look in expectation to the new year. And I know things could be more difficult than I could ever anticipate. But I also trust God with that. That He will sustain me, He will sustain us. He'll give us everything we need to do what He's called us to do. So let's start it off with the same way the disciples did on that night. Let's have communion together as we begin the new year.